History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, this is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I think this is my favorite segment that we do because it's usually the roast of Hot Take Hickey, who's kind enough to join us in studio, Ryan Hickey, who you heard earlier today filling in for Bill Ryder on many of these same Infinity Sports Network affiliate stations. Did you go home or did you just stay here?
I did go home. I would have liked to stay, but then I realized early this morning I did not make lunch or dinner, and I wasn't going to have time to do so, so left, made dinner, made lunch,
came back.
You were
also off yesterday. Like, you know, it's not this heroic performance, if we're being honest.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I would have stayed, would have saved some time on the subway back and forth, but I didn't have time to make dinner, and I just didn't want to order out. I was starving.
Do you still make pasta 7 days a week?
Tonight's actually chicken quesadillas.
Oh, is because your girlfriend had a birthday yesterday? Is those leftovers from the
No,
party?
I made it when I went back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're getting culture. Chicken quesadillas now.
You got a little variety in me.
Yeah.
Not often, but a little bit.
So last week we played you audio.
That's correct.
Of Jim Larranaga revealing that he's never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before. I have new audio for you this week.
Oh, boy.
And this audio, it comes from Jim Palmer. So this was on the Orioles broadcast, right? This is Jim Bleepin' Palmer.
Great pitcher.
On the Orioles broadcast. Have you heard about this?
I saw a headline, but I honestly forgot what the headline said. And I know, is it something peanut butter related, I believe?
No. You actually may be in line with Jim Palmer on this.
Oh.
Because you're a child.
Okay.
You're a child.
I think I eat well.
No, you don't.
I'm just,
peanut
I don't
butter
get
and jelly
sick
sandwich,
of it. I don't get sick of the same thing.
Night.
Sue me.
Yeah. So this is Jim Palmer. He made this revelation on the Orioles broadcast the other night.
You know, I never had a wing. Ever.
What do you mean you've never had a wing?
Never, ever had a wing.
You've never had. Wait a minute.
No. I'm just never have.
You've never had a chicken wing?
No.
Like,
why would I?
Why would you?
Don't they have skin and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah,
lots of things have skin.
But I don't eat skin.
Apples have skin.
Why eat apples?
You've never had a single chicken wing?
No, never thought about having it.
That is staggering. What about, like,
fried chicken?
You'll eat fried chicken?
Never had fried chicken.
Oh,
never.
My God.
Well, I've taken the crust off. And
what is this? What is this? You've taken the crust off?
Yeah. Well, what?
So you're losing the frying part of the fried chicken.
Well, that's why.
Chicken tenders? You had to have had chicken tenders.
Yeah, I have.
All right.
But that's not a chicken wing.
I'm so glad we found this out. How can I get you to eat a chicken wing this year? That is now my 2025 goal. Juan grounds out to Westberg at end of the inning. A scoreless eight for chicken wing aficionados, Scott Blewett.
That's disgraceful. What are up with gyms? If I was a gym right now, I would change my name. Jim Larranaga, 75, has never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then Jim Palmer, Hall of Fame pitcher, is 79. How can you almost be 80 freaking years old and you've never had a chicken wing? You may not like them. Then I just think you're not American. But how have you never tried a chicken wing?
I am shocked. I've had chicken wings. I just prefer boneless.
Yeah, because you're a little baby.
So Jim and I are not exactly simpatico. That is shocking. I don't know how he's avoided it. I don't know what he's talking about with the skin. That still kind of goes over my head in terms of why he doesn't want to eat it. But to each their own, I guess. That's what you got to say.
By the way.
You should be happy, by the way. That means more wings for you.
No. See, I'm a caring person. I want everyone to try and have the delicious just sense of
knowing
what a wing is.
We've had chicken shortages before. We've had wing shortages before.
That's fine.
The less people that like wings, the better it is for you.
The cost of chicken wings is too damn high. I already know that. All right?
So why you want it to go higher?
Jim Palmer, that's a Hall of Famer. They should take him out of Cooperstown if he won't eat a chicken wing, for crying out loud. That's terrible.
Is he banned from Buffalo, too? That's it? He's not allowed to set foot in the city?
He needs to reevaluate life.
Sounds like he's living a good life. Pitched well. Maybe that's the key to success.
I don't know.
Less wings.
You don't think David Wells had a few chicken wings?
Well,
you don't think so? I got to ask you something.
To each their own, as I say. Yeah. Maybe what works for David Wells does not work for most other people.
Stu's like the David Wells of the Infinity Sports Network.
Wow.
Shows
does
up.
Does that mean Stu's drunk right now?
Oh, he's plastered all the time. Throws a perfect game. You know, no problem. He's good. He's good to go. A few things with you. You had a horrible Masters.
I don't know. Horrible.
Horrible. You get on Twitter and you say, there's no chance Rory McIlroy's winning before the tournament started. And I said, there's finally light at the end of the tunnel for Rory McIlroy. That was my tweet in the moment. Then going into Sunday.
Well, to be fair, hold on. I said, I don't believe he can win. That's all. I said, there's no shot.
You got into this with Danny Parkins of FS1.
No, that was on Sunday. The initial tweet on like Friday was, I'm not riding the roller coaster.
Okay.
The Rory coaster's not for me. You can get the highs, the lows. Until he wins it, I'll believe it. I didn't say no, but I was not exactly a believer.
Do you really need me to pull up all these tweets here?
I know exactly what tweet I'm talking about.
Through the week, though, you said there's no chance he was going to win, correct?
I never. Sure. I don't know. I don't know. I was never asked who's going to win the Masters.
You have the tweet?
Yeah, because I was sending these to you, like, as the round was happening.
Is it Sunday? We're talking two different days. I talked about the tweet on Friday. Then I said, I'm not riding the Rory coaster. If he wins it, great, but I'm not going to believe it until he does it.
100%.
Sunday was when I said, he's cooked. No shot.
There's no shot.
So here's how it started. At 2:32 p.m., Bryson is winning today. Zero doubt about it. Rory doesn't have the chops, unfortunately, to finish the job. Mm-hmm. To which I replied, and Hickey strikes again. Because minutes later, DeChambeau started to choke away, and Rory pulled away a little bit. Then, after that happened, and Rory had a 4 or 5 shot lead, Hickey goes at 5:06 p.m. Wow, this is over. I can't believe Bryson was the player to implode today. And minutes later, Rory double bogey. Into the drink. And I wrote back, it's uncanny. Like, how is this possible? Hashtag Hickey hacks. And then Hickey finishes it off with, I think Rory is done, or Justin Rose is definitely going to win this. And that was the end of it.
All right, so you mushed Bryson DeChambeau. You mush Justin Rose, and then you should get the green jacket. Because Rory McIlroy didn't do the best job in the world.
No, right? He did not. No, but he did not.
Let's just say that.
Far from a perfect round.
But you won him the Masters because you were sitting there saying he can't win. And when you say something can't happen, 9.9 times out of 10, it usually does happen.
I give him credit. After 18, that 5-foot miss that, let's be honest, we're all making here in this room.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. There are a few things. I'm not one of those, I could throw a strike, hit a home run, score a touchdown.
You,
that putt,
Hickey,
we're hitting.
I'll give you 10 5-foot putts. I guarantee you at least miss 4.
I will say this.
You're not a golfer.
I will say this. On the recent bachelor party I went to, we played mini golf. My foursome won. Finished in second place. Right, I can golf. I can hit those short putts.
Mm-hmm. So not a good week for you with the Masters. Let me get your thoughts on the Nico Iamaliava situation.
Oh.
What's your take on this one?
I mean, overall, I think he's just getting bad advice. That's what it comes down to.
He needs to be a man. I'm not saying it's easy to tell your dad to be quiet.
But that's what it is. He's 20 years old. He's a college kid.
But hold on. All right. I could actually relate to this a little bit. I'm not saying my dad is doing what Nico Iamaliava's father did. But there are times where my dad will give me advice. And even I will say his beliefs when it comes to radio can be a little antiquated. And I'm not going to live and die based off what I'm going to use my parents as a resource, right? I use my mom, my dad as a resource, but I ultimately have to make my own decision. You can't transfer out of Tennessee because of the money and then just listen to your dad that the money's going to be in other places and he's getting rejected everywhere right now.
Yep.
And where are you going to, you can't transfer inside the SEC.
Nope.
So I would just take whatever deal you could get from Notre Dame right now, if I'm being honest. Why do you say that?
I don't think they're interested.
Well, no, I understand that. But if the price is so low, maybe they end up doing so. But think about the graphic where it was. It was Tulane who's out, UNC who's out, yep, and UCLA. So he entered the portal today, and it was a do not tag.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming he's going to UCLA, unless if he's going to be quarterbacking at like some school that we never heard of.
And it's definitely possible. I just have, like, look, he's not innocent. He is definitely culpable in the situation, no doubt about it.
But eventually you got to be a man.
But he's also, like, I will say, he's also 20 years old.
Okay.
And you should believe your parents are looking out for what's best for you. I can't fault him for listening to his dad if he says, look, you're getting screwed. Carson Beck's getting this. These other quarterbacks are getting that. You're only getting 2.2. You deserve better. Tennessee's screwing you, blah, 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 blah. Again, he's not innocent, but I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you should know better than your dad. Like, you should just tell him to shut up. Like, I get, especially that age when you're still in your formidable years, like, why you would listen to and trust probably the number one person.
Do you agree
that you would think has the best interest for you?
Do you agree that college sports is now professional sports?
Oh, it's been that way. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So he's a professional now.
But it's different when you're 25 versus when you're, again, you're 20. Like, you still make, no one was perfect in college. We all made our most mistakes in college. A lot of beliefs I had in college were way wrong that you think are correct in the moment. So, like, that's the one thing when you, like,
say professional. You had a lot of political hot takes in college?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I see where you're going, man.
But it's like a lot of things, like, that you believe in college you think are true that are truly, like, you have no idea what the real world is like. And that's why, like, even though technically college football is professional football, that one area I think he's still an amateur in the sense of, like, his maturity and his decision making versus, like, a real pro, real adult. He's not an adult.
So there are moments, Hickey, where I think that you sell yourself short, right? There's moments where I think you sell yourself short.
Okay.
One thing, though, that you told me is that you're a horrible dancer. Like, horrible dancer.
Very true.
In this case, you didn't sell yourself short. If you're watching live on YouTube, you could see this now. You could also listen, obviously, on the radio. I did some editing on this. It's just you. There's no one else in this video.
Okay.
But this was on Instagram last night, and this was Ryan Hot Take Hickey, folks. Take it away. H-O-T-T-O-T-O. You can take me hard to go. So you're singing with your girlfriend.
That's right.
The Chapel Roan song.
Hot to go.
And you look like a fish out of water when you're dancing.
Oh, see, I thought I was kind of feeling it myself, to be honest. I thought I was in a good groove. Got the crowd involved that was there.
That was at your girlfriend's birthday party last night?
No. This was from Thanksgiving.
Okay, but you did have a birthday party for your girlfriend last night, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you were off yesterday because it was your girlfriend's birthday.
Well, yeah, but we did something during the day and went to dinner at night. There's no party.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's a Tuesday. It's
milestone
a Tuesday.
Birthday?
She's 31.
So not a milestone birthday.
Well, every birthday is a milestone birthday. Well, you're alive. You made it another year.
The reason I say that is because a few family members are already talking about doing something for my birthday. They called me the other day about this, and I'm like, it's April.
Isn't your birthday in August?
Exactly. I go, my birthday's in August. I go, I don't know if I'm going to be free. I don't right now. Oof. And also, it's a 31st birthday. I'm turning 31. I go, not a milestone birthday. Like, we don't have to do something.
What were they talking about plan-wise? Any good ideas?
Well, this was not a very popular idea. So they wanted to go to Peter Luger.
Okay.
But they wanted to bring my 98-year-old grandfather to Peter Luger. And long car trip, all that stuff. I don't think it was, like, really right, if I'm being honest.
And if he likes a good steak, but that's fair. Okay.
That's a lot of moving for steak.
I'm not disagreeing.
So. Okay. All right. NFL draft real quickly. We're going to get your takes here. I don't even think you can mess this up.
Oh, boy.
Well. First pick of the draft, Tennessee Titans. Who they take?
Cam Ward.
Second pick of the draft, the Cleveland Browns. Who do they take?
I think they take Travis Hunter.
I'm agreeing with you. 2-for-2. Third overall pick in the draft, the New York Football Giants select.
I don't know, actually. I could see them taking Shedeur Sanders. I think this private workout is not by accident. I think it's either Shedeur or Abdul. Right now, 8 days out, I will say officially Shedeur Sanders, number 3.
What are the lyrics of the song, this Chapel Roan song?
H-O-T-T-O-G-O, Hot to Go.
Okay.
And you can take
you
me,
sing it
Hot
again?
To Go.
Can you sing one more time? Come on, Hick. Come on.
H-O-T-T-O-G-O, oh, you can take me. Anyone back there? No? Hot to go? Oh, my God. These two. Samter and Stu. No culture.
Well, like, let's not act like Stu has not sung songs for his girlfriend. He spent his life savings on Taylor Swift tickets. Right, Stu?
Hold on. He said no culture. You eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
And you don't know Chapel Roan, the hottest artist right now on the planet.
I've heard of her, and I know of the song, but I mean,
Stu,
no culture.
I don't know if you feel this way. I feel tension brewing. These two. Samter and Hickey.
Agreed.
I feel like it's getting nasty.
Did you say brewing?
Brewing.
Oh, it's been brewed. We're
well,
on.
You know, I know it's bad.
We're on like the third cup of coffee at this point.
It spilled over last week with the Frozen Four. My school versus his school.
Oh, that's right.
So a few weeks ago, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I hate getting contacted on the weekends. You know, when it comes to work. And Samter goes, oh, so do I. Especially like when you send me videos to upload. Samter sending me text about you over
about
the
me?
Weekend. About your terrible, horrible takes.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think that this is a... We could maybe get like a celebrity boxing match. Samter up against Hickey. Be a fun watch.
How much are you getting paid? That's what I want to know.
Well, we got $3.99 in Super Chats today, so we'll split it up for you guys.
Okay, and winner take all. Let's do it.
He has the size and the reach, but, you know.
Oh, here we go.
I'm
just saying, I'm small and compact.
Hungry
Tyson was never the biggest
faster.
Fighter in the ring. Tyson was small and compact, just like me. He's a fighter.
Oh, my God. You know, now you're comparing
iron.
Yourself to Mike Tyson. That's the second worst thing that someone has compared themselves to Mike Tyson
hey,
on these airwaves.
Stu, we're in lockstep here.
We sure are.
I take Shep over both of them.
Oh, bow, bow. My God.
1,000%. I take Shep up against the two of you, against Shep at the same time.
I sure as hell could take Shep out. Hickey would be a challenge for me. I could take out Shep, that's for sure.
Shep, if you're listening, the views of Michael Samter do not reflect the views of Zach Gelb of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Okay, Giants, Shador, Sanders 3, that's what you just went. Patriots 4.
That would leave
you. Oh, I love you.
Abdul Carter.
Oh, no, now it's not going to happen. Oh, 5, Jaguars. I'm going through the top 10 here.
I think they go Mason Graham.
Okay, 6, Raiders.
I think they will go Ashton Jeanty.
7, the Jets, Jets.
Unfortunately, I think they go Tyler Warren.
Well, unfortunately.
I want the Colts to get him.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you know, Breece Hall.
I think it's a great pick for the Jets. I think he's a really good fit wherever he goes. But especially in that offense, could be fun. But I want him selfishly in Indy.
The 8th pick, the Carolina Panthers.
How about a receiver for Bryce Young?
Ooh.
What about Tedrone McMillan? Best receiver in the draft, I would say, out of Arizona. Guy produces at a high level, instant offense. You know, let's get Bryce Young a weapon.
You think he's a better receiver than Travis Hunter?
I do.
Oh, there's a hot take by Hickey.
It's not a hot take. It's true.
Well, you hate Colorado.
No, I do not hate Colorado.
You've never said a nice thing about the Colorado program.
I think I'm realistic about Colorado. I gave him credit when they won nine games.
You probably hate that Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter are getting their numbers retired.
Oh, Shador Sanders absolutely should not get his number retired.
Oh,
Travis
stop.
Hunter, I get, and I have no problem with it. I think it's too early.
See, that's how I know I'm in the right. Samter disagrees
too
with
early.
That, and Hickey disagrees with that. 8 picks, so
you
go McMillan.
Me and Samter are bonding now.
You go McMillan?
Yes.
I just changed my opinion.
Yeah, I have it. Way to go.
I can't win here for losing.
So I did a spot today on WFNZ in Charlotte, and I said, the dream would be Mason Graham. I don't think you're going to be able to get him. Like, if someone starts to fall. I said I would also like to see them get Tyler Warren. If not, I said Jalen Walker. That's what I ended up going. I can't crush you for taking a receiver with McMillan. 9, the Saints.
They're tough. I think I would try to go Walker here, edge, try to get some quarterback pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if not, if Shador's a go 3, that's where he's going at 9.
And then 10, Bears? Alligator arms?
That is funny. You are the only person I've seen say that for him. It does crack me up every time. Him, I still think tight. I mean,
and I like Will Campbell, to be clear.
I go Will Campbell. I've been talking about O-line this whole time. Get a tackle.
Would I have my Jim Rome moment if we had Will Campbell on? If I just said, hey, alligator arms.
Well, the good news is he couldn't reach across the table to choke you out.
The first funny thing Ryan Hickey's ever said.
I thought for sure you were going to take the joke. So when it was sitting out there, I said, oh, this is perfect. No one sees it coming. So that's what you don't have to worry about. Just put him, you can put him right, honestly right here. He can't reach and get you. You're good.
You know what? This is the most proud I've ever been of you. Because
let's
I
go.
Think I created this
bar
monster.
Is low.
And let me tell you, you are having a strong personality now.
Oh,
good job out of you.
Mr. Personality over here.
Yeah. Tremendous job.
Look, the bar's so low. I make one good joke and all of a sudden I'll take it. I'll take it.
Good job. All right. Any other hot takes for the NFL draft?
Right now, no. I do not have any. Oh, well, actually, I have one. Travis Hunter. Don't play him both ways.
Oh.
You can play predominantly one and sparingly the other.
Another anti-Colorado
take. He's not
take.
Physically built to survive a car crash in every play.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
That's my concern.
Let me ask you a question. Shohei Ohtani, right?
Yep.
A lot of surgeries. pitched at a really high level. Obviously, elite at the dish. They're going to try to let him pitch once again.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just do that with Travis Hunter?
It's different. Shohei Ohtani's not getting hit by...
He did it in college. Why can't he do it in the NFL?
Because the difference in size and speed is way different in the NFL compared to the Big 12 and the Pac-12.
Because
way
you different. Are stubborn. This fits your brand.
It's true.
You are stuck in old ideologies, and this is a one-on-one guy.
You're going to ask him...
You have to at least try
to tackle Derrick Henry 10 times a game. Then, by the way, go every other play on receiver and then run over the middle and get hit another 10 times.
Corner. He's not tackling Derrick Henry 10 times a game.
Corners have to make tackles. You got to be physical.
Sure.
And you're going to pick him in the top five, top three probably, and say so you're going to play every play on defense, every play on offense. You're going to get hit. Guys have trouble staying healthy as is when they play one side of the ball. He's a slender guy. And now you're going to have him play both ways, get hit 20 times a game, and expect him over the course of 5 years to survive? I don't think it's possible.
Daly hates your dancing video. He said, please don't ever do that to us again.
Dancing? Did you play the actual video?
On the YouTube. We showed the actual video.
That wasn't even dancing. I'm sitting under the microphone working the crowd.
It was ugly.
I mean, look, I'm not saying it's good. The singing, I would probably say the singing is worse than the dancing.
We should do, and I guess I got to be the locker room leader now around here. We should do like a karaoke night with the Infinity Sports Network staff.
No shot.
Why?
Wow. Could not pay me enough to do that.
I'll bring booze and some other supplements for you, Stu. You'll be there.
Jeez.
I could be there. I'm not singing.
That
Why
was
not?
A quick no.
No, you don't want to sing a little Summer Lovin', Stu?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
That'll be your song, Stu? Summer Lovin'? Grease?
Yeah, that's what it was assigned to me, I guess. I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
Imagine.
Have you seen Grease?
No.
Yeah, that's surprising.
He's seen three movies.
Oh, let me ask a question. Have you seen Castaway?
I have not seen Castaway.
Oh, Wilson! Really? That's why I called into Mac and Bone today. I had to rip my buddy Mac because he didn't see the movie Castaway. You've seen Castaway, right?
Of course, but if you're going to get on somebody for not seeing a movie, Castaway is a tough one to get on somebody for.
Do you know how many times that movie's on TNT in the middle of the night?
Not as much as Shawshank.
I've seen that.
Castaway? Castaway?
If Stu has seen it, then you know that it's something. Yeah.
Castaway, like Waterboy is always on there, and The Replacements is always on there.
Replacement, super underrated sports movie.
Yeah, very good. Well, the original or the remake?
There was an original?
Oh, The Replacements?
What's the remake?
Well, that was with Adam Sandler.
No.
Oh,
no.
The Longest Yard. The Replacements. Yes, The Replacements also on. Sorry, Longest Yard is what I was thinking of.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, no. Yeah. So the more recent one, I saw the old one. It's fine, but The Replacements I like more than Longest Yard.
Replacements Shane Falco. Is awesome.
Really good. Yeah. Shane Falco. Amazing.
Falco. My favorite is when the guy throws up in the huddle after eating too many eggs, and they also get in the prison, and they also start singing what's the song that they sing in the prison?
Respect?
I Will Survive.
Oh, I Will Survive. Yeah, yeah. And then the kicker, too. The kicker looks like Patty Pimblett.
No, the best part is I don't want to ruin it, when Falco takes the...
ruining it for me.
Listen, for all those who've never seen the movie before, when Falco takes the ball away from him and he breaks his arm so he doesn't have to miss or make the kick and go against these gamblers that were coming after him.
Two-Tone Tony says, I thought Mraz was a locker room leader. And some may say he was a locker room cancer around here at the network. Not me, but that's what other people would say. Right? So I think Samter once said that about Mraz.
Wow. No, not about Mraz. Hickey for sure, but not Mraz.
Thought we were bonding.
Oh, maybe Shane Pete Falco. The Body Bellotti who said that. Yeah, can you guys be friends here? Why can't we be friends?
Listen, it's a healthy rivalry, right? It's kind of like Magic Bird.
It's like the Patriots and the Jets.
Who's Magic? Who's Bird?
I mean...
All righty, we'll take a break. It's the Zach Gill Show on the Infinity Sports Network coming on back.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The football season might be over.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
But don't you worry. There are still rankings to be made. So get ready as Zach gives you his top five in this week's special edition of Take 5 Wednesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff.
All righty, a little Take 5 Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Today, we are doing since 2000, not the five biggest NFL draft busts, But the five picks when they immediately happened that you knew were going to be flops. In at number five, I talked to this guy a year and a half or 2 years before a lot of other people did. And that was Trey Lance. And when I talked to Mike Bisceglie, who's producing me at the time, I go, how polished was Trey Lance? Sounded like a 10-year pro. But then in the draft process with the San Francisco 49ers, I hated what they did. They traded up to three to go get their guy at quarterback, but they didn't know who their quarterback was going to be. They initially made that trade going after who? Mac Jones. Then they reversed course of action and said they were going to take Trey Lance. And let's be real, Kyle Shanahan never wanted to take Trey Lance at first. He was talked into it. I didn't like that. So therefore, I didn't think that Trey Lance was going to be successful in San Francisco. With that being said, geez Louise, they didn't even give him really a chance. I had two starts, and then they said, nope, we're moving on. So Trey Lance in at number five. In at number four, I'll never forget when this guy got drafted with the sixth overall pick. Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones. That was a reach then. It's still a reach now. And outside of one season, the dude was a disaster with the New York Giants. In at number three, I actually went viral for this one. I thought Justin Jefferson, I remember saying this when I did the draft show, was the best wide receiver in that draft class. Justin Jefferson was right there for the taking for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, it ended up working out for Philadelphia long term because they went on to go win another championship, but they selected Jalen Reagor. The fact that Jalen Reagor went before Justin Jefferson still to this day makes zero sense to me. In at number two, Stu, I'm surprised it took us this long to get to the Raiders.
Me too.
I think the Raiders could have five spots
here. The whole
here.
List could be Raiders, yeah.
When Cleveland Farrell went fourth overall, who thought that was going to happen? That was a stunner, Stu.
I was listening on my way home from here, and I almost drove off the road. Literally. I'm not even kidding. I was driving on the New Jersey Turnpike, and I could not believe it.
That was stunning. And then in at number one, I was at this draft, and I'll never forget it. Now people will do a revisionist history and be like, oh, how was it not Patrick Mahomes? At the time, I thought Deshaun Watson was going to be going to the Chicago Bears. And the Bears trade up from 3-2, one spot with the Niners. The Niners move back. They drafted Solomon Thomas. And the Bears ended up taking Mitch Trubisky. And I remember being at the draft, and I was doing my radio show. I was at 920 The Jersey, Stu. I was doing the radio show from that draft in Philadelphia. And there was a bunch of other shows. A show from Dallas was there from The Ticket. And everyone was like, what? Mitch Trubisky? So those are five picks since 2000. When they were made, I knew they would instantly be flops. Trey Lance, Daniel Jones, Jalen Reagor, Cleveland Farrell, and then Mitch Trubisky. Samter, speak now, forever hold your peace.
I mean, for me, it's got to be the one guy that everyone knew was just like an absolute dumpster fire heading into the draft. Worst personality or inability to keep his head on straight. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I'll be transparent here because it's easy to say I told you so. I was a believer in Johnny Football because I loved Johnny Football when he was in college. I was mesmerized. I know about all the concerns off the field. I ended up going 22nd, right, to the Cleveland Browns, and it was a bleep show. But in the moment, I was not irate about that one.
Okay, well, along that same lines of a quarterback, Paxton Lynch.
Oh, great
going
one.
Into the... In the late 20s to the Broncos.
So I saw Paxton Lynch play in college a few times. Temple would abuse him. And people were telling me because he was 6'7", how great Paxton Lynch was. I was like, hey, I knew Temple had a good defense those years when Temple did go up against Paxton Lynch at Memphis. But I was never a fan of Paxton Lynch going in the first round. That's a good one.
All right, we'll stick with the quarterbacks. My team could have had Justin Fields 4 years ago, but instead they went with Zach Wilson, who had 1 year of starting in a COVID era season for BYU in a group of five conference at the time. It just felt like such a reach at the time.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. Remember that guy Dax Milner also played there? There's a story there about dating and all that stuff. There was a game though that I remember. This is when I was in on Zach Wilson. He rolled out to the right, stopped on a dime, and then just delivered a dart down the sideline to Dax Milne, who was falling out of bounds, and it was a good catch. And he put the ball, just perfect placement. I'll admit, I took some of the bait on Zach Wilson, so I don't crush at the time the Jets for doing that.
Now, maybe the greatest college quarterback of all time, also turned out to be a huge bust, but I don't think anyone was surprised. Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I didn't think he was ever going to be a great thrower of the football. I thought he should have converted to like a tight end or like a fullback or something like that. So, that's definitely one of them, but he just wasn't picked high enough in the draft for me that puts him in the top five, you know?
I mean, he was still a first-round pick.
Yeah, he was, but he wasn't a top five or a top ten pick like these other guys that were mentioning.
This is true.
But outside of Jalen Reagor, that was the one not top five, top ten pick I went with.
Now we're going to go with what we call the Raiders division. Alex Leatherwood, 100%. Who was a second or third round grade, went number 17. He was the Outland Trophy winner, but like he really didn't have a full position, and nobody was expecting him to go that high.
Yeah, no, and say the other Raider just so we can get him all out of the way.
Darius Heyward-Vey, who was ranked as the third best receiver in the draft, went as the first receiver, seventh overall to the Raiders, because he ran a 4.3 40, and they thought that he was blazing fast.
So both of them are disgraceful. Stu, wasn't there a corner that they drafted from Ohio State?
Or was that
the Dolphin? It was
a corner. Arnett? Yeah, Damon Arnett.
Oh, Damon Arnett.
Yeah.
Yes. Did he go in the first round?
He sure did. It was like maybe, I say, 18th or 16th, somewhere in the middle of the first round he went.
The corner Noah was Clemson. That's who it was. I got it mixed up. Damon Arnett, though, was the guy.
Ohio State, yep.
Ohio State, we're doing the draft show. And that's when we were CBS. So CBS would send us these draft notes, like these well-researched draft notes out of any player that could potentially, like, had a just like a 2% chance of going in the first round. There's never been a player that's never been on these draft notes that got drafted in the first round in the 3 years into the draft show besides Damon Arnett. And that was a reach by Mike Mayock. And that's Damon Arnett actually should be on this list. That's one that omission. I will say take Trey Lance out, put Damon Arnett in my top five. Any more we got here?
I'll do two more quick. This one was a shocker. Matt Jones, who was a quarterback at Arkansas, became the SEC's all-time leading career rusher by a quarterback. He decided, because he wasn't good enough as a quarterback, to switch to a wide receiver for the draft. He ran a 4.37 at the combine, and everyone was like raving about these workouts that he was doing. He went in the first round, never played receiver in his life, went 21st overall to the Jaguars, a former quarterback who ran a 4.37 and went in the first round as a wide receiver, and he clearly was terrible.
It's a great one. It's a great one. I have no retort to it. Finally?
And the last one, this one, a lot of people may disagree with me, but I, at the time, this was something that I thought. Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson, super athletic, but everyone said he's the most athletic guy in the draft, but he has no position. Is he a safety? Is he a linebacker? Inside? Outside? Will he rush the passer? Will he drop back? Nobody knew what he could do. They just knew that he can do a lot of everything. And he's been, pretty average so far in his career. And in my head, I'm saying to myself, if you can't find one thing that he's great at and he's just really good at everything, he's not going to be good in the NFL.
The thing that I question about that is that the Cardinals had two players that they drafted in the first round early, and they didn't use them the right way. I don't think they used Isaiah Simmons correctly and also Hassan Reddick. Like, at the last year, that's when Hassan Reddick popped off and they started using the right way. And then he had a run with Carolina and the Eagles. It was four straight years, if you include the last year in Arizona, with double-digit sacks. So I think that could be more of an Arizona problem. All righty, we'll come on back. Steph Curry is now in the postseason, because I don't look at the play-in tournament as the postseason. Will the Warriors beat the Rockets? Could we get another potential LeBron versus Steph Curry matchup in the second round? What's the greatest player rivalry in the history of sports? We'll do that on the other side. Update time first, though. Here's Zach. NBC4 in Washington, D.C., Mark Segravis, I think is how you say his name. If not, we apologize, Mark. Sounds good. Anyway, breaking. D.C. Mayor Bowser and the Commanders have a framework for a more than $3 billion deal to bring the team to D.C., and build a new stadium at RFK campus in time for the 2030 NFL season. Details at 4 p.m. on NBC Washington. And that was the breaking news report. This is now 40 minutes ago, so we're on time on that one. We're going to talk about other things. They don't have to interrupt the show for this. But I like that, because I've been to the stadium in Landover, Maryland. That stadium is a dump. Terrible to get to. You leave, you try to take the train, right? They encourage, take public transportation. You got to walk like 3 miles to get to the train. It's terrible. And you come in a football stadium, let's be real, especially if you're Stu. You know, you're enjoying yourself, you're having fun, and you got to walk then 3 miles. So this is going back to Washington, D.C. I don't know, 2030? It takes a while, like, to... I know we're 2025. I would have thought it would have been a little bit sooner, if I'm being honest, yeah?
Well, I mean, first of all, especially in a place like D.C., but really anywhere, you have to go through all these permitting,
sure,
right? You have to secure the funding. You have to go through a vote so that people vote on it, you know, to make sure that public funding is officially put there. So even before the actual construction, just takes time. And I believe the guy's name is Mark Seagraves.
Seagraves,
yes.
Mm.
Seagraves.
Sounds like I'm like going to go jump into like a coffin or something like that.
Seagraves. I like Mark Seagraves better.
I like Seagraves better.
As you were saying, I'm like, what is he talking about? What's Seagraves?
Mark Seagraves. I don't know. I looked at it. I just thought it was Seagraves. Seagraves. I wasn't expecting that. Is this going to have a roof on it? Because if you put a roof on the joint in D.C., you'll get the Super Bowl. You get some March Madness as well.
As you say, you might get a Final Four or
yeah,
something.
Final
yeah.
Four. D.C. Yeah. gets March That'd Madness regardless, cool. You know, but you get a Final Four there. I'm going to assume no, though, because I feel like they would say, oh, it's a dome. They would at least say that.
I mean, for $3 billion, you would think that they would have at least a retractable roof or something. Now, they are going to add this.
Look how much they spent on MetLife Stadium. That place is a dump.
No, see, it's not a dump. It's just
terrible.
It's a terrible stadium. It's just not a dump. It's very nice. It's just a terrible place to watch
that
a football
stadium
game.
Stadium has no personality.
I don't disagree with you.
SoFi Stadium. Go to Allegiant Stadium that they just built.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Those are palaces.
Awesome.
MetLife Stadium, outside of this stadium in Landover, Maryland, is probably the worst stadium I've ever been to.
It was terrible. As a Jet fan. And as a Jet fan, we were supposed to have a stadium here in Manhattan.
Yeah, and like New Era Field, I think it's called in Buffalo. Like, yeah, at least it's a dump, but it's like fun to go to because it's Bill's Mafia's dump. You know, that place at least is a fun time when you go there.
And that stadium represents the culture and the backbone of that city.
What are those things called? Do you have the bathtub? What is that called when you have to go pee pretty much in the bathtub in the bathroom?
Peeing in a bathtub?
Yeah, there's a word for it.
Yeah, it's like one.
Yeah, it's called a tub, or I forget what it's called.
I just call peeing in the tub.
No, I'm not talking about your what you actually do in your actual home. What are the? It's a communal urinal. What is that called?
A trough.
Trough. Thank you.
Oh, a urinal. They said a tub. I was thinking of a bathtub.
A trough is basically like a tub.
Yeah, I was thinking of a bathtub. That's what I was like. Yeah, I pee in the tub.
Yeah. Oh, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Those things are weird.
Yeah, you have to always have at least a full human being's body distance between you and the next person.
I just walk into a bathroom. People start commenting. They're like, oh, wow, impressive. I'm just like, what? I'm just trying to go to the bathroom here. I thought that was funny. Nothing? Crickets?
I mean, it was funny because we both know it's so untrue, but still.
Oh, okay. As Samter was taking a picture, he goes, I need a wide lens. anyway, what were we supposed to talk about here? The NFL Draft Preview is sponsored by Eco. Tools that deliver exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes. For any outdoor challenge, count on Eco. Tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego Power Beyond. Today is the last day of top 30 visits being allowed. Michigan cornerback Will Johnson is visiting the Seahawks. Tennessee edge rusher James Pierce is visiting the 49ers. Ohio State running back Travion Henderson is visiting the Broncos. And Texas offensive lineman Kelvin Banks, haven't heard his name much in this draft process, is visiting the Cardinals. The Warriors advance, so they're the 7th seed. They'll go up against the 2-seed Rockets. Stu, I don't know how you feel. I think the Warriors are going to beat the Rockets. I think we'll have a first-round upset. I do think the Lakers will take care of business up against the Timberwolves, and then we'll be seeing Lakers and Warriors in the second round. Are you in agreement there?
I would agree. I think the Rockets are just too young.
And do we look at Steph versus LeBron as a rivalry? I feel like it's a fun moment, but KD kind of did overtake that for 2 years, and there was finals history before with KD and LeBron. Now we've seen since then, right? LeBron with the Lakers, Steph with the Warriors, so it's changed a little bit. But would you consider LeBron versus Steph a rivalry?
I feel like they're very buddy-buddy, which kind of like takes away from it a little.
Well, LeBron's buddy-buddy with everybody.
He is. That's the problem with the NBA, too. Like, I feel like there's not a true player rivalry like there was 15, 20 years ago.
So what's the greatest player rivalry in the history of sports? We'll go around the room here. I think it's easy. This is Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. That's number one at the list, and then everyone else is battling for second place. But that's the first one that I thought of. I don't think it needs much explanation. Stu?
I am not a tennis guy. I am not like Pat Boyle. But any time that Federer and Nadal played, I was glued, especially in a final of a Grand Slam tournament. I loved watching those matches. Again, I don't watch tennis, but when those two played, I was kind of locked in. And they played a lot. They played 40 times and, you know, 24 times in finals. So there was a lot of track record there.
Okay. I'm going to Samter here. I hope Samter, it's a good one. I hope he takes a life raft, because if there's an omission here that we have,
I think
not,
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Samter, what's yours? Greatest player rivalry.
Well, so I was thinking of a few, as always.
Mm-hmm. Well, I only got 45 seconds, so think quickly.
Brady Peyton was the one I was going to think of, but they never play against each other. It's offense versus defense.
I knocked that out.
I was thinking Tiger versus Mickelson. Sampras versus Agassi, Messi versus Ronaldo. I'm going to go Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier.
All right, I can't really debate that one, but like Manning Brady has to. This was going to be my one. I thought you two, one of you would take it.
Because for me, a rivalry, they had to actually face each other. They never actually faced each other.
Stop. Don't ruin sports for me, all right? That's like my era. All right.
I'm looking at a list of the top 10 greatest individual rivalries, and they're not even in the top six.
Yeah. What year is that from? 2002? Come on. Stop.
All right. 2025.
Yeah. You could put anything on the internet these days. What is that? AI? Is that bot 3456 writing that?
That has yours as the number one.
Yeah. Well, that's an obvious one. But Brady Manning is easily a top five pure rivalry. When we come on back, Chase Daniel opened his mouth, and guess what? He said something stupid. We'll tell you what the latest thing is now, next.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.